It is a fact. Most home burglaries start with a ring of your doorbell to make sure you're not home. Alarm systems tell you after someone breaks in, but Ring Video Doorbell can prevent a burglary before it happens. Ring lets you see and speak with whoever's at your home from anywhere using your smartphone. With Ring, you're always home. Ring takes just 5 minutes to install, and for under $200, it's the easiest, most cost-effective way to protect and monitor your home. Go to ring.com/WSJ for free expedited FedEx shipping. That's Ring. ring.com/WSJ.
Hello, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. From New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. A look at what's behind the rise of Google. The company's market value has risen by $140 billion in the past 6 months. The Heard on the Street podcast examines why, coming up.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Money news that helps your bottom line.
Hello, and welcome to Heard on the Street, the podcast. We are the Wall Street Journal's home for commentary on all things financial all over the world. Reporting from New York, I'm Miriam Gottfried, joined by my colleague Helen Thomas in London. Hi, Helen.
Hi, good to be here.
We have Dan Gallagher here to talk about Google. Dan, Google's market value has risen by $140 billion in the last 6 months. But it seems like this has been driven by a lot of optical changes, like new reporting segments. And so what I'm wondering is, do you think that rise is actually warranted?
I think it's warranted because it's not just about this promise of a little greater transparency. Since the last year's July earnings, the business numbers have actually been looking good, too. So I think that's part you can credit part of the rise to that.
But $140 billion good? I mean, that's a lot.
It is a lot. And I think a part of it is this idea that they were changing the way they're reporting and giving a little more visibility. I had argued for a long time that Google had been undervalued, and part of that was they hadn't communicated very well to investors about all these things they do and how much they cost. So I think they've made a step in the right direction there. But I think they're probably done getting rewarded for that. I'm not sure what they reported earlier this week warrants further reward just on that fact alone. It's good for
Dan,
them to do, but now it's business. Back to business.
Dan, in terms of what they did report this week, in terms of what investors learned that they couldn't previously see, did we really get more valuable detail on the sort of moonshot side of the business, on all these other activities they do, or was it a case of actually getting more transparency on the core of the business?
I think you got both. I mean, you're not getting tons of deep financial details on all these various things they do, but you get they are breaking out what they're spending on these, what they call their other bets. And so you have and I think one positive takeaway from the report is there was a lot of assumptions before that the billions they would spend on these other things. And really most of their CapEx and investment goes into the core business. Less than 9% of the company's CapEx is going to these other bets, which some of which are some very capital intensive efforts that they're trying to do. So I think the takeaway was it looked pretty good.
So did we get enough information, because these other bets are really wide-ranging, right? It's, across cars and healthcare and investment and all sorts of things. Did we get enough detail to know which of those look like proper businesses or have the potential to become proper businesses and which really look like total flyers?
Not really. I mean, everything is lumped in these other bets that includes, like, biotech, life sciences, this cable service they're doing, driverless cars. So you don't really know.
Sorry, Dan, but the overall revenue is pretty small for the other bets, correct?
Yeah, these things are not producing a lot of revenue, and I don't think a lot of people thought they were beforehand.
But I guess the operating loss on that segment was not as high as it could have been, given, what people might have feared for that segment.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the ballpark guessing that was going on before the report, turned out to be kind of about in line with what they reported in terms of what they lost on it. So that's why I don't think there was a lot of negative surprise in it.
Dan, Google got a new CFO who came from Wall Street. How much do you think that the new, transparency is a result of her influence? And is it a case of tech just being really, unable to communicate with Wall Street and her sort of bridging the gap?
I think she brought a sensibility to it, you know, for sure. I mean, they're doing different things now than they were under the her predecessor. So, Google is still run by three people at the top. So if they were really opposed to any of this, I doubt she'd be able to do it. But I think they brought her in and as somebody who kind of knows how to communicate with investors. And I think she's been doing a good job of that.
I think we're going to have to wrap it up there. That wraps up the Your Money Matters edition of Heard on the Street. Be sure to check out our full Heard on the Street podcast at wsj.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening.